Sarum, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today we have a bhajan dedicated to Lord Krishna, and we are taking this bhajan on the request of a listener. The first line of the bhajan goes like this.
Bhajaman Shama Sundar Giridhari.
So this is what we will learn now. Like in every episode of this program, let's get started with the lyrics and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, the beat of the bhajan, and we'll spend more time on what each word of this bhajan conveys, and in the end you will listen to the complete mandir version of this bhajan. So we begin with the lyrics.
Bhajamana Shama Sundara Giridhari Mora Mukuta Pitambara Dhari. Bhajamana Shama Sundara Giridhari Mira Ke Prabhu Giridhara Nagara Murali Manohara Shama Murari.
Now that you are familiar with the lyrics, here is how this bhajan should be sung. As you listen to every line of this bhajan, sung very slowly without any musical accompaniments, please join and follow. You will get a feel of how this bhajan flows.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale D Pancham. Bhajaman Shama Sundar Giridhari.
Bhajaman Shama Sundar Giridhari.
Bhajaman Shama Sundar Giridhari.
Bhajaman Shama Sundar Giridhari.
Mora Mukuta Pitambara Dhari.
Mora Mukuta Pitambara Dhari.
Mora Mukuta Pitambara Dhari.
Mora Mukuta Pitambara Dhari.
Bhajaman Shama Sundara Giridhari.
Bhajaman Shama Sundara Giridhari.
Mira Ke Prabhu Giridhar Nagar.
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 Giridhar Nagar. Giridhar Nagar.
Giridhar Nagar. Giridhar Nagar.
Giridhar Nagar. Giridhar Nagar.
Giridhar Nagar.
राके प्रभु गिरिधर नागर
मीरा के प्रभु गिरिधर नागर
मुरली मनोहर श्याम मुरारी
मुरली मनोहर श्याम मुरारी
मुरली मनोहर श्याम मुरारी
मुरली मनोहर श्याम मुरारी
भज मन श्याम सुंदर गिरिधारी
So that's how sweetly this bhajan flows. And when you know about the raga and the technical structure of this bhajan, you will appreciate the tune even more. To help us in this endeavor, we have Brother Anirudh. So, which is the raga that is associated with this bhajan, Anirudh?
Saram Bishu.
Saram.
This wonderful bhajan is based on two ragas. One is Rag Pilu and the other one is Dvijavanti or Jinjoti in the Hindustani classical music. Maybe I guess it's a mix of both the ragas because the way the bhajan flows, a beautiful blend of this variation Dvijavanti and as well as the Pilu. Pilu as the common base for the bhajan. So let me take you through the lines of the bhajan and then see how it matches with other similar bhajans in Pilu.
Sure.
Bhaj man shyam sundar giridhari mor mukut pitambar dhari
I'm reminded of the bhajan
mandir mein aao Madhava Radha Lola Rakhumai Vithala
It goes to the major
Ga
And then it goes to the minor Next line
Ranga Pandu Ranga Vithala Sai Prem De Shanti De Anand De Baba Prem De
This is yet another similar bhajan in Rag Pilu. And as I was mentioning about the other raga, that is Dvijavanti or Jinjoti, you have bhajans like
Kshirabdi Shayana Narayana Narayana
So this
Nisada Nire Ga Mare Gare Sa Nisada Nire Re Sa
This usage is very common in Dvijavanti and we find in the line
Giridhara Nagara Nisada Nire Re Giridhara Nagara Giridhar Nagar Meera Ke Prabhu Giridhar Nagar
And again it comes back to Pilu
Murali Manohar Shyam Murari Murali Manohar Shyam Murari
Actually, when I sing this bhajan, it reminds me that this bhajan requires a lot of practice because it is very much oriented to the classical raga based. You have many curves, the variations, and also the tune itself is little complicated. Especially the lines like Mora Mukuta Pitambara Dhari. So we need to practice. So many notes are coming in the raga. Ga Ma Re Ga. So four notes which are totally different. So we need to really focus on how to stand on each note, the syllable. So I think one best way to practice for this bhajan is sing the bhajan slowly and get the hang of it. Like Bhajamana Shama Sundara Gire Dhari Mora Mukuta Pitambara Dhari. So in this way we can really space out each syllable and know where each syllable stands in that shruti. And of course when we do the swaras for each line, it will become much more clear as what are the notations behind these syllables.
The beauty of the bhajan also lies in the subtleties, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And it is one particular bhajan which is having a very big range, I can say, because it goes very low and high as well. So, Giridhari, that's the note standing in the lowest. And Giridhara Nagara, of course that's an optional variation. Giri Gari, so it goes till the Komal Ga in the higher octave. So we need to choose the scale also properly according to the range of the singer. If you choose very low, then the first three lines are lost. And at the same time, if you choose a little higher scale, it might be tough to sing the higher lines, the Meera Ke Prabhu Giridhar Nagar.
Absolutely, I mean, you need a seasoned voice to do justice to this bhajan. Versatility in rendering the subtle nuances of this bhajan is important.
Yes,
so that the bhajan blossoms in its fullness.
Yes, and as I mentioned before, I guess singing this bhajan slowly would definitely help to get this bhajan easier, to learn this bhajan faster.
Yes. And one would enjoy singing this slowly also, because given the beauty of the bhajan.
Yes, yes. And if there is a harmonium accompaniment, that would also help, because you or anybody accompanying the harmonium can play each note and it will help to know where we are standing in the note.
Yes.
And one more way to get it faster is listen to the bhajan many, many, many more times.
Absolutely.
So like just how we learn Vedas, just
exactly.
By listening it gets into the mind. So such bhajans also, when we listen, it plays a very important role in picking up of the bhajan.
Absolutely. So would you want to spend some time on rag Pilu? You said that is the basis, isn't it, of this bhajan?
Yeah. Though it goes Pilu and Dvijavanti, maybe I would try a small alap.
Please.
Ah
also, as you mentioned before, once we know all the intricacies in terms of the swaras of every line, that will really help us to grasp the tune of this bhajan better. So shall we take every line and discover the swaras?
Yes, let's take the first line.
Bhaj man shyam sundar giridhari pagari ga sarini sa sa sarini sa nidha pagari ga sarini sa sa sarini sa nidha मोर मुकुट पीतांबर धारी गा गा गरे गा गा पमा गमरे गरे सा गा गा गरे गा गा पमा गमरे गरे सा
वी शैल गो टू द नेक्स्ट लाइन
मीरा के प्रभु गिरिधर नागर मानी दसा निसा 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 निसरिनेद मानी दसा निसा 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 सारिनेद गिरिधर नागर गिरिधर नागर ससदनी रे 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 गरि सनि सा ससदनी रे 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 गरि सनि सा
इन द सेकंड टाइम यू हैव An optional variation.
Giridhar Nagar, Giridhar Nagar, Nisadani Mare Re Re, Garisani Sa Sa Sa, Nisadani Mare Re Re, Garisani Sa Sa Sa.
Again we sing this.
Meera ke prabhu giridhar nagar.
And the next line.
Murali manohara shama murare. Dha da da padani da padab maga gama padamagare. Da 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 padani da pada pamaga gama pada magare.
Beautiful, it sounds so lovely when you listen to the swaras. Definitely a bhajan which when practiced will give us so much joy. So what is the beat of the bhajan?
The beat of this bhajan is the regular Aditalam or 8 beat. And the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
Bhaj man shyam sundar giridhari. Bhaj man shyam sundar giridhari.
So that's a brief but a sweet overview of the bhajan. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Anand.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So with that, we come now to that aspect of bhajan singing, which is more important over and above the technicalities. And this is the aspect of bhava. With what frame of mind should we offer the bhajan to the Lord? So let's take every line and contemplate on what the beautiful names of the Lord that have come together to make this bhajan tell us. So we begin with the first line.
Bhajamana comes from bhaja, meaning to worship. Mana refers to the mind. Bhajamana means, O mind, worship. Worship whom? Shama, Sundara, Giridhari. Shama is the one who is dark complexioned, like the clouds in the sky. Now, why is Krishna compared to the dark clouds that bring rain? Bhagavan explains, Krishna is described as blue because he is deep. He is inscrutable as the sky. Blue is the color which the eye comprehends, though the sky has no color at all. Similarly, the Lord is beyond all colors. The Lord transcends all attributes, but in order to comprehend him, the mental eye attributes a color, just like to the infinity we ascribe the color blue. Therefore, the infinite Lord Krishna is described as Shama, as the blue-hued one. Bhagavan also says that Krishna draws the mind away from sensory desires towards him. The senses are pulled away from everything else, because everything else is inferior and less valuable. Because Krishna satisfies this deepest thirst of man, this thirst for joy, for peace, for freedom, he is called Mekashyama. He is as dark blue as the rain cloud. The very sight of the rain-laden cloud is so refreshing, isn't it? Just like the name of Lord Krishna. There is an interesting experience that Mr. John Hislop, the well-known devotee of Bhagwan from the West, was blessed with. Sometime in the mid-70s, on one occasion, Mr. Hislop had the chance of traveling in the car with Bhagwan. He was seated in the front seat next to the driver, while Bhagwan was seated in the rear seat. Mr. Hislop kept turning back occasionally to observe Bhagwan, as Swami was conversing with two persons seated next to him. At one point, when Mr. Hislop turned around, he was struck with awe at what he saw. He says, Swami's color was blue. Not just blue, not the blue with which artists paint Krishna, but it was a deep blue, like the velvet blue that sometimes can be seen in a dark sky, like a blue that I have at times seen from the deck of a ship thousands of miles from shore on the Pacific Ocean. I really don't know how to describe that hue. Mr. Hislop observed this phenomenon for nearly 15 minutes, and when he later asked Bhagwan about it, Swami casually replied and said, Oh, that! Whenever there is something of unfathomable depth, it appears to be blue, deep blue. At a later juncture, Bhagwan even affirmed it by saying, Yes, that was Krishna, not the Krishna pictured by artists and imagined by writers. I showed Hislop the real Krishna. So the Shama that Krishna is called as is because of this color blue, and Mr. Hislop had the chance to see this beautiful form of the Lord affirming the inscrutable fact of the divine phenomenon. Sundara means beautiful. Giridhari is the last word of the first line. Giri refers to the Govardhana mountain that Lord Krishna held aloft for 7 days to protect the residents of Gokul Vrindavan. Dhari means the one who holds. In the Rama Avatar, during the building of the bridge to cross over to Lanka, the monkeys in Lord Rama's army plugged mountains and leaped great distances to place these mountains across the sea. A stage was reached when the bridge was completed, so the monkeys placed the peaks they held in their hands down on the ground right at that spot because they were no more required. At this, one small hill shed profuse tears and lamented, Why was I removed from where I was? And why am I now refused? I was overjoyed that the armies of Rama and Rama himself will walk over me. But now, I am neither here nor where I was. This news reached Lord Rama, and so overcome was he by compassion that the Lord immediately sent word to that hill that he would use it in his next incarnation. The Lord never forgets a promise that he makes. The mount from the Treta age was the Govardhana peak that Lord Krishna held up with his little finger for one whole week to protect the cowherds of Gokulam from the continuous downpour that was inflicted upon them by Indra, the head of the Devas or the demigods. Thus, by means of a marvelous miracle, Krishna not only revealed his divinity to the residents of Vrindavan, but also made the mountain happy. The residents of Gokul Vrindavan used to worship Lord Indra, the rain god, but on one occasion, little Krishna persuaded Nanda to stop the usual puja for Indra and to instead worship the Govardhana hill. And as we know the story, Indra was stung by this neglect and poured terrible rains on the village, but Krishna held the Govardhana hill aloft on his little finger and invited the entire village to take shelter under it. In the Bhagavata Vahini, Bhagavan reveals the inner significance of this episode. Swami says, Indra decided to demonstrate to the world that Krishna was indeed God come on earth, and that is why he manipulated a situation where the Indra Puja was cancelled by the people of Vraja. Thus Indra retaliated with heavy downpours of rain, and Krishna then had to lift up the Govardhana peak in order to shelter the cowherds and cows from the onslaught of the downpour. It was all part of a play. Indra had no anger, nor did he entertain any idea of revenge or retaliation. Nor would Krishna ever advise people to give up puja. Such miracles were decided upon in order to make the people identify the divine already amidst them. In fact, on another occasion, Bhagavan said, Krishna raised the Govardhana hill only to announce his truth and his nature, to instill faith and to implant courage. It was just a sign, as is each one of my acts. Bhagavan said, there is no task which I cannot accomplish. Remember, there is no weight that I cannot lift. In fact, there's a very sweet incident related to Mr. Nanjundaya, who was earlier the controller of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. When his daughter Sai Geeta was to be blessed with ear-piercing ceremony by Bhagwan, the family went to Swami's interview room, and Bhagwan very kindly did the ceremony of not only piercing the ear of his daughter, but also initiating her into learning, doing the Aksharabhyasam. Even though Bhagwan did this with so much love, Professor Nanjundaya was feeling that probably he troubled Bhagavan with his little desire. And when he expressed this to Swami, seeking his forgiveness for taking Swami's time, Swami said, I have come only to serve you all, my devotees. I have no other better work. And then Swami pointed to his own neck and said, can you see my neck? Isn't it quite big for my little frame? The neck is big because I'm here to carry all your burdens. So that is the merciful Lord we pray to in this first line, Bhajamana Shama Sundara Giridhari. As we move on, the next line is Mora Mukuta Pitambaradhari. Mora means peacock. Mukut refers to the crown. Once in the month of September 1977 in the Vrindavan hostel, Bhagwan was speaking about Lord Krishna. Swami said, Krishna moved among men as an ordinary person and drew them to the observance of his prescriptions by means of his divine love. He refrained from parading his divine insignia, comprising of a conch, a wheel, a mace or a lotus, sankha, chakra, gada, padma. He did not even wear a crown. As a boy, he followed the cows into the pastures with just a towel round his head. And then Swami asked for a long towel and himself wound it around his head just to show how Krishna appeared in the days of yore. Swami said, in those days there were plenty of peacocks in and around Vrindavan. And so, whenever Krishna came across a fallen feather, he picked it up and stuck it between the folds of his towel. And Bhagwan demonstrated this by himself wearing the towel to all the awestruck students and devotees there. So that is the Mora Mukuta Pitambaradhari. Pitambara refers to the golden hued attire of the Lord. Pita is yellow, ambara is vestia or dress. Bright yellow is the color of pure gold, and that is why traditionally gold is prescribed for the dress of God. So in this line we refer to the beautiful form of the Lord, one who is so beautiful with the peacock feather on his crown and the golden hued dress on himself. Coming now to the third line, Meera Ke Prabhu Giridharanagar. Once when a student was singing a Meera Bhajan, Bhagwan asked that boy to start crying. The boy was actually taken aback. He said, "Swami, I don't know how to cry just like that." But then Swami said, "If you have the bhava, if you have the feeling like Meera, as you sing the Meera Bhajan, you will automatically start crying. You should develop that kind of love for the Lord." Meera was a devotee who had merged completely in Krishna consciousness, Swami said during a discourse in May 3, 1987. After her marriage, she requested her husband to build a temple for Krishna. The Rana built for her a temple in marble, and Meera spent all the time in the temple singing bhajans, oblivious of the outside world. The Rana, who allowed Meera to carry on her worship of Krishna as agreed to by him before the marriage, got vexed with her complete absorption in Krishna and prohibited her from going to the temple and closed its doors to prevent her from going there. And it is at this point that Meera felt, "The Rana may bar me from the temple which he has built, but who can bar me from seeking the Krishna who resides in the temple of my heart?" And so Meera ran towards Dwaraka through forests and hills, defying storm and rain, singing all the way and calling, "Krishna, Krishna." Once she reached Dwaraka, she entered the temple but found the doors of the Sanctum Sanctorum closed. Despite all her efforts, the doors would not open. And finally, she cries out, "Krishna, Krishna, I shall not give you up, and you cannot get away from me. Abandoning everything, I cling to your feet." She says these words and cries, "Krishna, Krishna," in anguish, and she knocks her head against the door of the sanctum, and that very moment she falls down unconscious, and an effulgent flame emerges from her and merges into the Lord in the shrine. Meera Ke Prabhu Giridhara Nagara, we discussed about why the Lord is called as Giridhari or Giridhara Nagara. So in this line, we pray to the Lord to fill us with that kind of intense love that Meera had, the Lord who is ever ready to carry all our burdens just like he did for Meera. So we come to the last line, Murali Manohara Shama Murari. Murali is a name of Lord Krishna referring to the bamboo flute that he plays on. Bhagwan has clarified this on countless occasions, why the flute is so dear to the Lord. Anyone who wants to get close to the Lord only has to become hollow like the flute, eliminate all worldly desires and thoughts, and become totally egoless. Then, Swami says, the Lord will pick up such individuals and make them His instruments and work through them in amazing ways. Manohara is one who captivates our mind. Murali Manohara Shama Murari. There's a beautiful incident that unfolded in Kodaikanal many years ago. Swami used to grant darshan to devotees and spend a lot of time with the students during his visits to this hill station in Tamil Nadu. Once during a session before dinner, one of the young schoolboys who was part of the group made request Bhagwan to play the cymbals for the devotional songs that were being sung by the students. Bhagwan too readily accepted and took the cymbals and started playing. It was indeed a beautiful sight. After the singing session was over, Bhagwan started talking and somehow the discussion moved to Lord Krishna. Professor Anil Kumar, who was also present, suddenly recollected the days in Vrindavan, Bhagwan's ashram in Whitefield, Bengaluru, and mentioned how Swami would beautifully play the cymbals during the thrice sessions in Vrindavan ashram. Bhagwan then immediately smiled and almost in a whisper, Swami said, "E Vrindavanam lo, I used to play talam," meaning in this Vrindavan, I am playing talam. And then pointing his index
finger high up in the air as if to indicate a bygone era, Swami said, "In that Vrindavan, I used to play flute." So here was Bhagwan revealing how Talam has replaced the flute in the current incarnation. And Professor Anil Kumar was so ecstatic at this revelation that he wanted to immediately translate it. But Swami said, no need, don't translate. But Professor Anil Kumar humbly folded his hands to Swami and said, "Swami, please forgive me, but I want to translate this because you have shared something so precious." Those are the moments where the Lord revealed how the same Murali Manohara of the Dwapara Yuga came down as Sai Shama in the Kali Yuga. The Lord, who used to enrapture everyone with his flute, was now enrapturing everyone with his sweet voice and with his cymbals and with the rhythm he plays as the boys sing. We have discussed the meaning of the word Shama. Murari is another name of Lord Krishna. He is called so because Krishna destroys our ego. The demon Mura was one filled with ego, having got boons from the divine, and the Lord destroying Mura connotes him annihilating our ego. Another meaning of this name Manohara comes from our Puranas. According to ancient Indian culture and spirituality, this name refers to the enchanting female form of dancer Mohini that Lord Vishnu once assumed. On one occasion, the Devas and the demons got into a fight which led to them churning the ocean of milk to acquire the nectar that would bestow immortality. At one point, it seemed as though the demons would win, but just then Lord Vishnu appeared as Mohini, the dancer, and started his act. And this made the demons forget themselves and, of course, lose sight of the nectar too. Lord Vishnu then distributed the nectar to the Devas, to the demigods. In this context, the form of Mohini can be taken to represent Maya or illusion that we experience through our minds, how we get distracted from our objective when engulfed with Maya or the distractions of the world. The demons were deceived by the form of Mohini, and so they lost the elixir of immortality. And these bhajans are those moments which help us to subdue our distractions and keep our concentration on the Lord. The Lord is Manohara because He is the one who can keep our mind engaged. We have to put that effort, use the medium of sadhana, of japa, of dhyana, of bhajan singing, and ensure that the mind never loses sight of the Manohara, of the one who is the most beautiful one, the most blissful one, and the only thing worth living for. So dear listeners, these are just glimpses of what this bhajan conveys. Every word of the Lord is so filled with deep significance. It is for us to dive deep into these beautiful names of the Lord and gather the nectar that can fill us with perennial bliss. Let us listen to this bhajan once again as it is sung by the students of Bhagwan in the Prashant Nilayam Mandir.
Bhajaman Shama Sundar Giridhari, Bhajaman Shama Sundar Giridhari, Mor Mukut पीतांबर धारी, मोर मुकुट पीतांबर धारी, भज जमन श्याम सुंदर गिरधारे
brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also WhatsApp us. Our number is 9393-258-258. We look forward to your comments on our WhatsApp number. We offer this endeavor with all humility and love at His lotus feet.